Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Israeli military says it's hit over 200 targets in Gaza since a truce with Hamas ended overnight. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
We are about a mile and a half east from the Gaza border, and from here we've been hearing and seeing the smoke from those Israeli airstrikes onto Gaza. Despite that, we are hearing from negotiators that the talks are ongoing to resume the ceasefire.
Lawmakers in the House are expected to vote next hour on booting embattled Republican from office. Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
Many lawmakers we've talked to say they believe there is enough support to expel Congressman Santos.
Buffalo Bills linebacker Von Miller has turned himself into police near Dallas after a warrant charged him with roughing up the pregnant mother of his children. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
He allegedly stepped on her feet, pulled a chunk of her hair out, and more than once placed pressure around her neck with both hands.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the state's legislative maps. Rick Essenberg of the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty says he doesn't expect the current maps to change drastically because of non-contiguous islands.
If, in fact, you believe that the maps are a partisan gerrymander, it's not because of the municipal islands. This whole question of municipal islands is a Trojan horse.
Essenberg spoke at a WisPolitics gathering yesterday. Seven labor unions are suing to end Wisconsin's near-total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. Among other things, the unions argue Act 10 is unconstitutional since police and firefighters can still collectively bargain. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Former Wisconsin Attorney General and current Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel has declared his bid for the state Supreme Court. He'll be competing against Justice Ann Walsh Bradley in the 2026 spring election. It's expected to be highly competitive and expensive. Schimmel previously held the position of Wisconsin Attorney General for one term but was not reelected in 2018. A porch pirate warning is going out from Waukesha Police. They say with many more people opting for online shopping, it's advised to have delivery people place packages in front of cameras or in inconspicuous locations. Officials say if you do get a package snatched, call police to make a report. The Waukesha Christmas Parade is Sunday. It steps off at 4 downtown. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Bucks lose in overtime in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A surprising loss for Milwaukee. The Bucks made a comeback in the fourth quarter, but Alex Caruso's three-point shot sent it into overtime, and the Bulls win 120 to 113. Adrian Griffin said head coach Billy Donovan had the Bulls ready.
Number one, give them credit. They played extremely hard. Billy got those guys playing with a lot of energy. Well, we didn't do it for the full 48 minutes of the game.
College hoops, big game tomorrow. The Badgers host Marquette at 11:30. The Golden Eagles are ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Everyone waiting to see if Taylor Swift will be in Green Bay to see her boyfriend, tight end Travis Kelce. Gymnast Simone Biles will be there to cheer on her husband, Jonathan Owens, who will be covering Kelce.
Try to get hands on him, but keep your leverage. That's the biggest thing. And just comes down to winning, man, and competing.
That's Packers safety Jonathan Owens. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. Highs around 37. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely again tonight, 33. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And so we're carrying over a conversation that we had prior to, you know, paying some bills. And that was about whether or not climate change is real. Let's go. My good friend Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy, and thanks for this important discussion. You've touched on my concern about the climate crisis. A very strong parental instinct is protection of their young, and my hope is that the people who should be on the front lines of advocacy are the parents of the generations that are coming up and are going to have to live on this planet, as most of we older people will not have to do.
Well, Mary, you know, you're absolutely right, but I'm afraid that the parental instinct, at least as it's being exhibited in American politics, is lacking. If we as parents really were worried about the next generation, we would be worried about having child daycare available, preschool training available across the board. We would be worried about the health care that's available to children across the board. And education costs. You know, we would be treating children as the investment in the future that most of the developed world countries do, and we don't. And I suspect that it's that lack of forward vision, that long-range planning that comes from thinking about children and grandchildren and our progeny, that keeps us from doing the things we ought to be doing about the future. And in global warming is clearly a future issue, but so are all these other things. We keep putting Band-Aids on, you know, instead of fixing our education, we talk about forgiving debt, but that means that we'll have future generations incurring debt because of the same problem. So I'm right with you, Mary, but I think that what we need to instill in American politics now and in the American public is a much greater sense of the parental obligation.
But Sandy and Mary, how much of this is now these things are just divided down political lines, and the political lines are more important, which side you're on, than the issues that we're talking about? It's not just this, but it's all of the things that we're talking about, Sandy. We can't have the conversation that we need to have because it's either Democrats believe this, Republicans have to believe the other thing, and we can't think rightly because of this division.
Well, it might be because of the way we talk about it. I think Mary's right that if we talked about it as parents and about the obligation we have to children and about children's welfare, and if we always brought up children welfare as the primary issue to be addressed, with respect to health care and with respect to whatever, you know, the rights of infants once born. You know, we've seemed to be fixated in politics on the question of infants pre-birth, but once born infants, what's our obligation to them? I think we need to restructure that conversation so that it's far harder for naysayers to say no.
You know, Sandy, you've got grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
No, I don't have great-grandchildren.
Oh, okay. Well, you've got grandchildren. And yeah. And you look at them, and you love them, and you want them to have a long life like we've had, right?
Oh,
and so you, I don't know how you can look at your own grandchildren or great-grandchildren and then just disavow all of these things for political reasons. I mean, we've got to understand these children deserve the people who were here before us, Sandy, looked out for us.
I think
right?
I think the baby boomers have a lot to do with this becoming the me generation and America's political processes and the gestalt of American politics becoming a me analysis rather than a future analysis. What's in it for me? What's it going to do to me? We've got politicians who are 75 and 80 years old who are still worrying about themselves and their own power base rather than the future. So I just think we need to develop community interest. We have to focus and reanalyze the extent to which we as people, as a community, are much more selfish than we ought to be. That this de Tocqueville, the French philosopher in the early 1800s, was right that American individualism has blinded us to the community interest.
You know, every time I'm around a lot of children, and every time I look at them, I feel a responsibility, right? I feel a responsibility that we've got to do everything we can to make sure that children who have nothing to do with any of this,
right,
they're not on the right side or the left side of anything.
That child, when he emerges from the birth canal, she has had nothing to do with choosing the process that has brought them into the world. They have simply entered the world, and all of our children ought to enter the world on an equal footing, but that is not the way it happens.
You know, Sandy, if we can somehow get, as you talked about and constantly talk about, baby boomers, we're baby boomers. So when you always bring that up, you're including yourself, you're including me, we're not pointing at some fictitious person, it's all of us.
No, it's we,
yeah.
Including you and me, that have developed this me concept. It's we that wanted to have snowmobiles and boats and all the things we could have in our driveway. It's we that kept those things and had our children go into student debt for the first generation. There was no such thing as student debt until our children went to college and were given the opportunity to pay for it themselves rather than have their parents get rid of the boat and the extra
right.
car and the whatever, you know? And so, you know, it's we that have gotten to me.
You know, Sandy, I do know the sacrifices that my mom and dad made for all of us. They clearly put their lives on hold. They clearly dedicated their lives to making sure that we had an opportunity.
Well, incidentally, that's why the second generation of immigrants is the most successful cohort and has been through American history, the most successful cohort of American in the American population, because immigrants come to this country for the purpose of giving their children a better opportunity. They don't come for themselves. They come for their family, for their children and their grandchildren, and they devote themselves to it. And they work, many of them work jobs that are below the standard of job they would have had at home. Their college education in Romania doesn't get them the job in the United States. So what do? They clean houses. They do whatever they have to do to make sure that their child goes to college and has the future they want and need.
All right. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Quickly, Tom.
Hey, Earl. First, I want to say that Mary is absolutely wonderful and always right when she's on your show. I want to tell her that she's going to love her Oura ring, O-U-R-A ring. I've had mine now, and it's absolutely incredible.
Yes, Sandy wears one.
I'm looking at mine right now.
Yep. And because of Mary, I've ordered one. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. All right, great. Basically, I think exactly what you're talking about is true. I don't call climate change climate change. I call it climate catastrophe, because it is a catastrophe that's coming our way. And you can see it, and it's really interesting. If you go back and watch An Inconvenient Truth, everything that Al Gore had said in that movie is exactly what's happening right now with the extreme weather temperatures going from one end to the next, you know, going from, here in California, going from 100, you know, down to 40 the next day. I mean, this has never happened before. So,
well, having the atmospheric river, I read that there was one now predicted for the Northwest, these atmospheric rivers that deluge water, something that's never been experienced at anywhere near the rate that it's being experienced there in California, too.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, like I said, it's climate catastrophe is what I'm calling it, so people actually get the idea of it. But, Earl, also I was going to say, have Max Richman or Alex Lawson on your show. Alex Lawson, aren't they both part of Social Security Works?
Well, Max Richman is somebody I've had on, I don't know, for years and years and years. And yes, I've reached out to him, so we'll have him on soon. Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let me go here, Sandy. Michael Scholes died after getting trapped in dangerous machinery at a sawmill in Wisconsin. But across the U.S., conservative groups are pushing to loosen laws that protect children in the workplace. In late June, Jim Scholes and his 16-year-old son, Michael, woke up at 4 a.m. for their usual drive from their apartment in Florence, Wisconsin, to begin work at 5 a.m. at a sawmill. Again, Jim Scholes was 16 years old. Father and son made this journey together five times a week in the summer when Michael worked longer hours than he did in term time. His two older brothers had also worked at the same mill when they were about his age. Their day at Florence Hardwoods, one of the largest employers in the town with a population of about 2,000, began as normal. Jim operated a forklift outside while Michael worked alone inside the mill. 16 years old, worked alone inside the mill. Jim says he never worried because he believed young kids were stacking lumber, not operating dangerous machinery. According to a Florence County Sheriff's Office report, when the conveyor machine became jammed, Michael stepped on it to try to straighten the wood, but he had not pressed a safety button to turn it off. The conveyor started to move, and he became caught in the machinery. The teenager was trapped for 17 minutes before a supervisor who had been operating a forklift outside discovered him unconscious. Sandy, it's happening more and more around the nation, young children working at jobs that used to be considered absolutely off limits for children. They had these laws that you can tell us about after we return, but it's critically important that we have this conversation because it's happening more and more and more. And I don't know how we got to a point where we say it's okay for young people to be working in these places. We'll return. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us. Be right back.
Pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell rock.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th annual Christmas parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up with business owners, city leaders, and you before the parade even starts.
Your Waukesha Christmas pre-parade coverage is live Sunday, December 3rd from 3 to 4 p.m. and only on the Shaw 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
I'd like to fix this bag of tricks and hand them out with a fleeting greeting. Smiles for the frowners, salutes to the uppers, boosts for the downers. May the day be the bowl of cherriest, and to all the merriest, hope you swing during the season. Hope the days go great. Hope you find plenty of reason the whole year long to celebrate.
Sunday, this is George Clooney's mother.
You know, Sandy.
Right? I mean, that's her claim to fame today.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I kind of surprised you a little bit with
Rosemary Clooney.
Yeah, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We're talking about child labor laws that have been skirted. And
well, skirted, they've been written off the books. Yeah. It's unbelievable that human beings forget the lessons of history. All you need to do is read Charles Dickens, Oliver Twist. Ever since the Industrial Revolution started, child labor was the original sin. Having young people working inhuman hours in inhuman places in unhealthy conditions was going on, and it was going on for decades until it was finally a halt was drawn to it, particularly in the United States in the New Deal, but all across the industrial world. England, every place else adapted rules against this. Yes, children work on farms, but they work for their parents. They work with their families. They work under the supervision that their parents have decided they need. When you send a child off to work at Hormel Meatpacking or some such place, there's no in pare parentis process. There is no parent out there making the decisions. And quite frankly, without oversight, without regulation, the kind that Adam Smith understood business needed, you know, without OSHA, we would have more dangerous working conditions. Without child labor restrictions, we'll have children working because they're inexpensive and available in workplaces. Should they be? No. The lessons from history have long told us that it's not the way that we develop our children into adulthood in the manner we would like them to develop, number one. Number two, it's dangerous for them and unhealthy.
You know, Sandy, these corporations that are now utilizing these young people, it's all over the country. Certainly it's happening in Wisconsin. People are changing laws to make it possible. The companies can't unilaterally, Sandy, just right. Do this, can they? I mean, the laws have changed.
No, but Tom from L.A. would tell us money in politics gets things done. Business wants this. It's convenient for them. It's expedient, and it's happening. You know, they're getting laws passed. They're talking people. You know, and there's no question that a 16-year-old wants to go out and earn good money. I mean, you've got, to some extent, it's important to protect people from themselves. The libertarian notion that everyone should make their own choices needs to have some boundaries put around it, because it's clear that people can choose things that are not good for themselves, and they ought not to be given the opportunity to choose it.
452 children died on the job in the U.S. between 2003 and 2016. Some weren't even teenagers. 73 children ages 12 and younger were killed at work between 2003 in 2016, according to the Government Accountability Office.
Well, and that, well, to be honest with you, that's still 7 years ago. You know, we've had laws being passed in the last 2 years in jurisdictions around the upper Midwest, passing laws to allow children to work, people who haven't reached the age of majority, young people to work in full-time jobs.
Right. You know, Sandy, so what do you say to the businesses who say, we don't have enough people willing to work, and that's why we need to bring these children in?
I tell them that the truant officer will show up at the door. I mean, you know, the fact is that we used to be more worried about children attending school and having the energy to do their homework and to do what they needed to do. And now we're trying to facilitate them taking on essentially full-time employment or heavy-duty employment during the period when they should be schooling.
You know, Sandy, it really is. And again, we're going to keep beating up baby boomers because that's us. Because these laws, we should know better. If anybody should know better, and if anybody should be fighting that, it should be us. Yeah. We know that's not right.
If it's expedient, if it's convenient in today's political world, if it's expedient, convenient, and profitable, it tends to happen. Okay, we've gotten in the way of regulation. Environmental regulation has been moderated. OSHA regulation is the source of a great deal of political contempt. You know, we've got all kinds of things that were set up to protect us from the things that the lessons from history told us we needed to be protected from. And they're inconvenient. It's like Al Gore's inconvenient truth about the climate. It's inconvenient to have regulations, but they were there for a reason and for a good reason.
You know, as somebody who worked in industry for 34 years, I never will forget when I walked into the plant. They used to call this place the butcher shop. And there were guys who had lost fingers, hands, arms, and because it was prior to OSHA.
Right.
And so, you know, the machines did not have safety devices on them, for heaven's sake, Sandy. There weren't even hearing earplugs and safety glasses and safety shoes. None of those things existed for those of my father's generation. OSHA came into existence, I don't know, in the 60s?
Yes.
And so OSHA came into existence because of what was happening to people. Well, you know, they watered down OSHA. Who was it that watered? Was it Reagan or?
Well, OSHA, or was it? OSHA has been sort of the political football when, you know, when people who are anti-regulation want to talk about unpopular regulations, they'll talk about the environmental regulations, they'll talk about OSHA. These are the things that get in the way, right?
Right.
They're inconvenient. If you're a contractor building a home, OSHA is the one that tells you you've got to do some inconvenient things to cover up the holes that people might otherwise step into and fall through and do these things that are required. So, you know, it's inconvenient. And there's no doubt that people who operate machines will find it inconvenient even to have the safeguards in place. And I'm sure that plenty of people who disarm the safeguards on the machines they operate so they can operate them better. But those things are there for a reason. And who are the people that continue to lose fingers and hands and arms? The ones who disarm those safeties.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. I got to take a short hiatus. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about gambling. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
For the loners, a song for the singers, grins for the groaners, make the day nothing can compare, yes. Have the most, the merriest. Have the most, the merriest.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Civic Media News. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Universities of Wisconsin is defending a controversial email. President Jay Rothman floated the idea of cutting liberal arts programs at some state universities in a message to chancellors in September. The Daily Cardinal student newspaper at UW-Madison obtained the email and ran a story this week. Rothman tells the Journal Sentinel the story mischaracterizes his position. He says a liberal arts education teaches critical thinking and persuasive writing. The secretary of the host committee for the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee is stepping down. Milwaukee Public Schools cut ties with Gerard Randall's Milwaukee Education Partnership 2 weeks ago. School board members say it isn't clear exactly what the nonprofit did with school district money. It also appears Randall lied about prominent people serving on his leadership team. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Milwaukee casting foundry has been fined $100,000 for violating the Clean Water Act. It's alleged pollutants were discharged in the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. Milwaukee Precision Casting, Inc. pleaded guilty and acknowledged operating without the necessary permits, as well as discharging untreated wastewater into the sewage system. As part of the guilty plea, the company will pay $100,000 in fines and restitution. Downtown Waukesha becomes a winter wonderland tonight. The city will start the holiday season with its Night of Lights starting at 5:30. The event, organized by the Waukesha Downtown Business Association, the Chamber of Commerce, and the city, includes a tree lighting ceremony, a lantern stroll and caroling, and the Walk of Lights lighting ceremony. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
Bucks lose in overtime in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A surprising loss for Milwaukee. The Bucks made a comeback in the fourth quarter, but Alex Caruso's three-point shot sent it into overtime, and the Bulls win 120 to 113. Adrian Griffin said head coach Billy Donovan had the Bulls ready.
Number one, give them credit. They played extremely hard. Billy got those guys playing with a lot of energy. Well, we didn't do it for the full 48 minutes of the game.
College hoops, big game tomorrow. The Badgers host Marquette at 11:30. The Golden Eagles are ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Everyone waiting to see if Taylor Swift will be in Green Bay to see her boyfriend, tight end Travis Kelce. Gymnast Simone Biles will be there to cheer on her husband, Jonathan Owens, who will be covering Kelce.
Try to get hands on him, but keep your leverage. That's the biggest thing. And just comes down to winning, man, and competing.
That's Packers safety Jonathan Owens. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for mixed precipitation. Highs around 37, winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely again tonight, 33. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. UK.
Thank you.
right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, I remember as a young boy, if you wanted to gamble, you know, you could go to New Jersey or you could go to, where else was it? Vegas. You could go to New Jersey.
Well, actually, when I was a young man, if you had the money, you could also go to Havana, Cuba.
Yeah.
Before Castro.
Or you could go to the local Catholic church and play bingo.
Bingo. Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You remember those days?
Yeah.
Okay. So gambling was regulated.
Well, it was highly regulated. Some states had lotteries. Wisconsin didn't. There was the famous Irish. Ireland had a lottery that people across the world would join. No, gambling was highly restricted, very limited. There used to be the illicit bar might have a slot machine in it that would be taken away by the authorities if it was discovered. Gambling was highly restricted, and then it basically opened up with the advent of Native American-owned gambling that came to Wisconsin after there was dog racing. Dog racing sort of opened the door in the 70s, the early 70s in Wisconsin. They allowed gambling for greyhound racetracks, which have come and gone. They still exist physically, but they aren't used. And that led, then the next step was in the 80s to Native American-owned gambling institution.
So I hasten to sound like a couple of old fogies.
Yeah.
But it was better for families, I believe, when gambling was regulated. And so this is an article that I was reading this morning where killing the youth of America caused growth or crackdown on U.S. gambling.
Well, gambling, little good of it. I mean, yes, there's some endorphin release from taking chances and getting rewards, but it's clearly a process in which unlimited amounts of money can be spent, you know, in any amount of time, right? So gambling is a way to and organized gambling is organized against the gambler. I mean,
yes,
that's the
issue.
The house wins, right?
Yes.
The way it's set up, I think Donald Trump's about the only casino owner who's ever gone bankrupt. Because the house wins. It's machine operated with odds that are dictated within the machine, and the house wins money if off of every dollar you gamble on a probability basis.
So worries that gambling addiction has spiked in the U.S. as legal sports betting booms have led to calls for increased regulation.
Well, I mean, gambling is now available on the internet. People can play poker on the internet and gamble. And now sports betting, and not only is sports betting has become so predominant that it's advertised on NFL football games. You know, you turn on the NFL football game and you can see the Manning. I think the Manning brothers do an ad for Caesars sports betting. So, you know, it's become not just a process, but a very legitimized process, and one in which. One of the reasons that the NFL was eager to go to Las Vegas with a football team was that Las Vegas has become a real center of the NFL business.
Sandy, it's very addictive. Gambling is as addictive or more so as drugs, as cigarette smoking, and many people have fallen prey to it. And I would venture to say that gambling, Sandy, is even more dangerous than drug use. And the reason I say that is a person is limited in how much drug intake they can take at any point in time. Gambling, you can lose it all.
Exactly. And one of the problems with gambling is that the risk being taken is part of the process. It's important that for the person gambling to get the whole rush from gambling, that they take a risk that makes them nervous so that they realize that fear side so that the victory that comes from winning gives them a flood of endorphins. And so Some of the people who fall prey to gambling are the ones for whom a $100 bet is too big. It's a big dollar amount because they can't afford it. Because they can't afford it is part of the rush that is accomplished from the gambling process. That's why when people talk about how much Michael Jordan gambles when he gambles, it's huge dollars amounts because it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter to the gambler unless the amount they're putting on the line matters. Right. And if it matters, it means that it shouldn't be put at risk, particularly if you have a family. Okay.
You know, Sandy, it used to be looked frowned upon. And, you know, when you and I were younger, gambling used to be one of the sins that they would talk about. You know, if you gamble, there's something. But today, Sandy, it includes everybody. Granny is in the casino.
Yeah.
The widow is in the casino. And they found a way to make the slot machines addictive. And so Granny loses her endowment that was left when her husband died. And they had worked and put all this away. Well, she's got maybe nothing else to do, so she goes to the casino, and she thinks she's going to win, but yet the casino is rigged, and there are supposedly regulations in place that say we've got to pay out X amount of dollars to the people. That's what the regulation says, but that penalty is so minuscule that the casinos don't pay what they're supposed to be paying, Sandy.
Well,
who's watching this?
And the availability for gambling far exceeds the availability of casinos because the internet,
oh, absolutely,
sports betting allows everybody to do it from any place at any time, and all of this is preying upon a part of us that is thrill seeking and endorphin seeking, but we're doing it with money that is important to us.
Yeah, people can't afford this.
Well, like I said, it's important to a gambler that they wager enough so that they are put at risk associated with it. So if you don't earn a lot of money, it doesn't take a lot of money to be at risk and to be money you can't afford to lose. If you have a lot of money, you'll bet more. And the reason is not because you need more money, but because you need to take the risk that's associated with it. And that's the invidious part of gambling.
You know, Sandy, what they don't ever talk about are all the people who lost and then took their lives. There's a line of people who have taken their lives after losing a lot of money in casinos and other places. Nobody ever talks about that because that's the dark side of it. And yet we continue to proliferate. Now, the real worry that they're talking about here, Sandy, are young people 18 years old who are caught up in this, what'd you call it? Betting on the games and stuff. What do they call that? The gambling, online gambling.
Online gambling, yeah.
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 And so 18 years old now, you can get caught up in that. And so I saw some commercials. Well, the first $250 is free. You know, we'll give you $250. Calvin, you ever see those commercials?
Yes, I have.
The first $250
up. Calvin was slow answering because he was betting. He was just placing a wager on a sumo wrestling match in Japan.
And so why would you drag young people into that? Let's go to the phone lines and Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. I know I'm upsetting some people, you know, who think that, okay, it's all right. I can control it, but everybody can't.
Earl, what I think people don't understand who bet or especially the lottery, casinos, all of that, add up just 1 year what you do, how much money you put into that, and then explain to them, if you put that in an investment, just a reasonable, I'll give you a couple right now. Microsoft and NVIDIA have gone through the roof. Now, maybe that they can't buy a lot, but they can buy a little, or they can put it in a CD. They can make it grow for them. And if you explain to them, well, guess what? You take that money and you put it away for 1 year. Next year, you're going to be able to fill up your car with what you kind of won on your investment. You might have to be able to do this. You can have one more free dinner because you did that. That will work for you.
Well, you
but
know,
to
you...
take reach for that golden ring. I had worked with a man at AT&T, and when the lottery first came out, I said, Ed, are you going to buy a ticket? He said, heck no, it would ruin my life. And he explained why. And when he explained why, boy, he had an impact on me.
Well, you know, Bill.
Well, you know, the lottery is a very good example because you know, when the lottery in the space of six weeks or so, the Powerball winnings can get all the way up to $1 billion.
Right.
The reason it does is that's the amount of money that people are putting into it when they're buying tickets, and that's all the money they're putting in minus the amount that the government keeps for the purpose of. So, you know, the government has legitimized this as well through the whole lottery process, and I know for a fact that. When I stand in line to pay a bill at a gas station, I see a lot of people buying lottery tickets who I am confident could well use the money they're spending the lottery ticket on in other fashions.
But they can spend it in other fashions that will make money for them.
Yeah.
They really can. And it's maybe an education that could be in our schools. And don't kid yourself. There are many investment companies that would love to come in and at least speak to kids and say, you can do this, or bankers, or even savings and loan people, and say, look, just put it with us for 1 year. What you're going to do this coming year, put it with us, and watch where you end up.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, I'm not saying for the person who can control their betting, and you know, they'll say, well, why are you trying to interfere with what we enjoy doing? All I'm saying is there's another whole segment of people who can't. It is addictive. Some people get addicted to drugs. Others don't. Some people get addicted to smoking. Let me throw this in, and I know there'll be people who'll jump all over me. I've been watching Sandy, the big-time athletes. They're smoking these big cigars, $25, $50 cigars. I'm seeing average people now. They're smoking these big cigars because they've seen the entertainers and the athletes smoking big cigars. Never mind that's tobacco. Well, we're not inhaling it. But
it's like Bill Clinton.
But all of these things, Sandy, are having major impacts in the society. And I do think that you know, I'm sounding like just some old guy, but things were better the other way. And those people controlled those things. I just think things were better for the average person.
Well, this is all about making money. Okay?
I know, right.
And the people who own casinos make a lot of money. They've spread it into politics. You don't think that gambling became legalized without political figures deciding that they wanted to do it.
All right, 844-967-2789. Your thoughts. We'll be returning shortly.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, and I'm looking forward to being back on the air with you every weekday on the Civic Media Network and on our app very soon. A big shout out to Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and of course, our fantastic guests who have been helping to hold down the fort while I've been gone. So I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. That's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. We've covered a whole array of topics. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts? Am I raining on your parade?
No. I worked at a casino for 3 years, and I have to say, I know people who gamble and they're very responsible for it, but working there, I saw it brings out the worst in people. My girlfriend works security at the casino also, and she would tell me stories that people would be sitting at the at a slot machine and die.
Oh,
and
yeah.
People would be on each side of them playing and not even realizing that this guy is dead. And then when security comes around and finds out he's dead, they would get belligerent with security because they had to walk away from their game. And people would even have the balls to say, well, if he's dead, can I take his winnings? you know, so it that's a true story.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's very rude people. Yeah, they run into you. They didn't care. I always said they wore horse blinders. They saw a shiny light. They would head for it, and they didn't care what was in their way. But on another thing about as far as young people, I mean, when I grew up in the video game age, you know, the amount of money I put into arcade games, you know, and there was no chance of any type of winnings there, so to speak. So I understand how it can be
addictive.
Draw on young people, addictive, yes, on people. But, you know, it's to me, though, it's like any other addiction. There's always something. And, you know, what I don't know how you would, if you made it illegal, there would still be gambling. I mean, it was like prohibition. There was still people drinking. There was, you know, there was backroom speakeasies and there was gambling in there.
I guess what I would say to you, Tom, is right now, you know, there's Chicago just put in a new casino. They've got two more on the docket, two to three more. There's clearly in the state of Wisconsin, there are many of them. There's clearly Pottawatomie. There's Racine. They're getting ready to add one. They've added a couple more on the outskirts of in Waukegan, Illinois, and other places. So everywhere you turn, there are these casinos. They're not putting them all up because people are beating the odds, Sandy. They're putting them all up because there's gold in them Tar Heels.
Well, yeah, and I think I'm not one who wants to regulate everything from the government. I think prohibition was an absolute failure. I think the restrictions on marijuana have been an absolute failure. But I do think that education is an important thing so that people understand the downside of it as well, because there's, for instance, alcohol's obviously contributed to huge social problems as well as being sort of a staple of society, and gambling needn't be outlawed. But I do think it's tragic that people can lose everything through a process which is addictive. And I think that at least there needs to be a great deal of education out there about gambling and the problems it can create.
Well, you know, Sandy, again, you look at the football games as I do, and again, they've got the former stars, and they're kind of pushing this, And, you know, you see the former stars. Again, it's the same thing as I was talking about with Medicare and Joe Namath and them doing these things. Well, if they put this person out front, then the people think, hey, it's okay. You know, the Manning brothers. Who could be any more wholesome than the Manning brothers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I don't like the fact that it doesn't matter whether I like it or not, that now when you're watching the, you know, pre-football, it's all about the gambling odds on it. And I just think that the way it used to be, that you couldn't gamble on those things, were, you know, made it better. Now that opens up the door. It's somebody shaving points, right? It's somebody doing something because money's, you know, out here at the end of it.
Well, you know, the world of bookies is probably, the bookies probably agree with you. They wish it wasn't legal because bookies made their money
right
on the side when it wasn't legal. Like I said, I'm not so much about government restrictions eliminating things that are going to be happening anyway and saving people from themselves. But I think we ought to have at least an education process that gives people the tools to save themselves from themselves.
You know, Sandy, we talked about a whole array of subjects as we always do. But at the root of most of these things, Sandy, is government. And because none of these things can happen without our elected representatives saying, all these things that we talked about come to fruition because of conversations that are being had and laws that are being created by elected officials.
And let me say that for a future show, I think one thing we should talk about is this trend we have in the world and in the United States towards authoritarianism and away from democracy, away from the notion that rules should be implemented through a government democratic process, and that maybe we ought to put individuals in charge to make decisions for us. And I scratch my head as to why this is happening, but I've gotten some books I'm reading about some theoretical analyses that's being done about the cycles that societies go through that lead towards authoritarianism. And to some extent, it's kind of frightening because I think America and much of the West in particular and Eastern Europe are in the throes of cycles that are trending us towards authoritarianism. Something I never worried about in my years growing up here in this country, but I'm worried about it now.
Well, you know, Sandy, we don't tie in, even though it's a representative government. You know, there's a reason why people run for office, right? I mean, the people who run for these offices, for the most part, not all, but many of them, There's something behind the scenes that we don't get to see or know about.
Well, yes. I mean, I think the failure of the people we've elected to be responsive to us is part of the frustration that is creating this trend towards a desire to have something different and maybe authoritarianism. I think there are some people have a fear that the rabble will grab control and take what they've got away from them. Others are simply frustrated that what they want doesn't happen, and so maybe I need to put this in the hands of someone I trust. But in any case, authoritarianism is not going to deliver to anybody the things that they think they might get from it. That's the lesson from history.
All right, we're out of here. Have a great weekend, Sandy. You as well, Calvin. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great week.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.